We are ready. Piffles Podcast here. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Greg.
I'm Amy.
And I'm not plugged in. I'm Greg.
There we go. That was the Johnny McQuaig Band. Here we go. One of our featured artists here on the Piffles Podcast for 2018. Give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod.
You can follow me at Safamod.
Follow me at Greg on Sports. We are.
We'll just go around the circle and come back.
We are performing as well as the writers did.
Follow me at Real Amy D. I'm not paying attention. I don't know why everybody's laughing.
Oh, he just interrupted me. I'm at Real Alex D if you want to give me a follow as well. But follow Steve because he's so damn happy about it and,
yes.
And right into it. So give everybody a follow. It'll be great. Give us a like on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check out Instagram as well. Just search Piffles Pod. And of course, check out the website, piffles podcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check out their half-price drinks during happy hour, 2 to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. Summer blizzard menu and a great deal on burgers right now. 2 single cheeseburgers for $4, 2 doubles for $6.
I love that doubles. I do that way more than I should, actually.
And a 7 p.m. on a Saturday coming up, fill up on double cheeseburgers. Great idea, right? And blizzards.
Not 12. Cheeseburgers.
1, 2 cheeseburgers.
I call shenanigans. That bag looked like it fit more than 2 cheeseburgers.
Just 2 cheeseburgers and a large fries.
Coming up on this week's show, the opening kickoff, we're going to recap the Riders against Ottawa and what we thought of that game. Yeah, well, the first like half was a game and then the rest of it was not, but we'll talk about that. We'll have our Tallgrass Apparel engaging with the enemy, talk to a Montreal Alouette player coming up in just a bit. Our Cypress Hills destination play... Piffles player profile. We're going to talk to Charleston Hughes. We're going to share our Piffles fan contest week 3 winner, Jamie Mrazek. You're going to hear about Jamie's rider pride. And of course, we're going to talk about the upcoming game against Montreal. And we're going to preview that with Cliffy D of the Montreal Alouettes Flight Deck podcast. So let's get things going here. Time for the opening kickoff. All right. So 40-17. Greg's not even laughing. He's holding it in really hard. Riders lose 40-17. That was obviously not what we expected, wanted to happen. It was a stinker. After it was 14-14, of course, your guys' immediate take on that game.
Well, that's one way of putting it. On Thursday night after the game, I basically said, cue up the rant music because that was horrible. But luckily, with the Thursday night games, I've had 5 days to come down from my anger, and I still don't know what the hell that was. That, I don't know if they were flat. I don't know if it was just because they had 2 practices and a walkthrough at Parliament Hill, but they were not prepared for anything, it seems. And I'm sure we're going to talk about Duran at cornerback and how that throws the entire team dynamic off, but they were not ready to play at all.
Honestly, to quote The Simpsons, that they were the suckiest bunch of... sucks that ever sucked. That was just a terrible performance. It was I tried to look at it and see, you know, who stood out, who looked good, and it was really difficult. It was just one of those games where nobody showed up.
David Watford, he was the only one that didn't suck. This team has a stinker at least once a year on the road, and this was it. I'm hoping that this is it and there's no more to come, but that was bad. After it was 14-14, Daron Carter got his pick 6, and we'll talk about Daron here in just a second. The offense was moving the ball. The defense got that pick 6, and yeah, sure, they gave up another touchdown as well, too, but both teams had 1 offensive touchdown and 1 pick 6. So it was a pretty even game there, and then Ottawa just kind of took over. Coincidentally, when Zach Caleros got hurt was kind of how when the game turned. I don't know. It just seemed like in the second half, they just weren't there. The offensive line was terrible, gave Caleros and Bridge no time whatsoever. And that's been, again, you're going to hear this all year. This is the main concern about the team. If the offensive line can't give them time, the offense can't do anything. And it doesn't matter whether Daron Carter's playing receiver or not.
What frustrates me the most is you talk about it being close game at 14-14. We had 2 end zone interceptions or red zone interceptions. You can't do that and win against a top-end team in the CFL. You take both of those away and put points on the board, and it's a whole different ballgame. Once you do that, it was all downhill. The momentum was 100% in Ottawa's court, and there just was no discernible effort. And the O-line was, I mean, awful is an understatement. That was just, they were porous.
I was having flashbacks of 2015. Like, it was just like, what is going on here? It seemed there's a red black in the backfield the entire time.
Well, and Daron Carter did do his best junior Mertel on the touchdown. I'll give him a pass on that. That was he read the play wrong, not quite getting out of the way.
He bit on the quarterback there.
Yeah,
but
big time.
Now, speaking of Daron, I want to talk about this at cornerback, and I brought this up in my Tuesday takes. Let's say you're going to play a raw rookie at cornerback. That's going to be your starting cornerback. In two games, he has two pick sixes, gets beat deep for one touchdown by probably the fastest player in the league in Deontay Spencer, and has a few other catches against him, but also has a few tackles as well. What would you guys, would you guys be okay with that? Would you be willing to live with those growing pains if it was a raw rookie at cornerback?
Of course you would.
Because that's essentially what Daron Carter is here. He doesn't have really any training at cornerback at all. He's been a receiver his entire life. And sure, the transition is a little bit easier with those positions because you know the type of routes that receivers run because you run them every day in practice, so you know the nuances. But if you could tell me that you're going to have a starting cornerback have two pick sixes and get beat deep once. Now, first off, name me one defensive back that's never been beat for a touchdown and I'll show you a liar. Because every defensive back has been beaten. Ed Gainey, our all-star, has been beaten for plenty of touchdowns in his career. Javon Johnson has been beaten for touchdowns. Like, name me one.
But it only matters because it's Daron Carter. That's the problem.
You mean 89?
Yep.
Yeah, he doesn't have a name. He's just 89. 89 now.
But the problem with that is, and you're right, if it was any guy they brought off the street, put him back there, two pick sixes, that's fine. But we are talking about Daron Carter here. He is arguably your best, if not second best, offensive weapon you have, and you're taking that away from your offense, and the offense is not playing well. So you would think if you put him back on offense, it would create a spark. And Daron is really good when the ball's in the air, and because that's his receiver mentality. He sees the ball, he gets the ball. That's fine. He's biting on stuff he's not used to covering. And you know that the offensive coordinators from the other teams now are going to be planning for that. And luckily it's Montreal this week. I'm not too concerned about it, but you got to hope that we got to get another defensive back soon, but it doesn't sound like any help's coming.
No, Chris Jones came out today and said that Daron Carter is the plan until Nick Marshall returns. And the one thing I will say, even Daron Carter admits with you that Daron Carter, the receiver, would beat Daron Carter, the defensive back. He had a tweet conversation with Ferlin last week, and he hit the receiver side of him. Yes, he's arguably a substantially better receiver, but this is what we have to roll with because the team hasn't prepared enough to handle injuries. And a lot of the complaints that we're seeing aren't about him being taken off offense. They're just arguing that he's not a good defensive back. I disagree. I think for a two-game defensive back, he's been substantially better than what we could have asked for. Yeah, he got beat by Deontay Spencer. Who hasn't? The guy who's going to go off for 4,000 yards in his own words this year.
But no matter how you slice it, we're still thin at cornerback. We're still thin at defensive back. And God forbid someone goes down, who's next?
Oh, we have nobody.
Exactly. And that's part of my problem with it as well. Yes, Daron Carter is the guy right now, but Javon Johnson gets hurt. Who's coming in? God forbid Daron gets hurt, then you're losing a three-way player.
This is the issue we saw the moment the first depth chart came out and there was no defensive back listed behind the starters. We haven't planned for anything. Daron Carter was the plan. We got an injury and they're in a whole now what scenario. There was nobody new out at practice other than the national receiver, Tristan Dauphlin, is it?
Yep.
Like, they're not looking for a next guy. And that's poor management right there.
Yeah, that's all on Chris Jones.
And he's got to do something. Meanwhile, we've got, 10 defensive linemen? And I get it. His defense runs around his D-line, but you still have to have the guys lining up at defensive back. They have to be able to cover regardless. And our D-line didn't show up at all last game, albeit in 40% three-man rush, which I'll wait for the rant segment on that one.
Should we queue up all of our rants from last year about three-man rush? So do you take this game and just wipe it away? This is just one of their stinkers and whatever? Or is this a real cause for concern? Because really, it's one game out of 18, and it's game two. So obviously you don't want this team playing at their peak in week two. Well, I mean, you do, but you want them playing their best in the last third of the season going into the playoffs. So do you guys just chalk this up to just whatever and get rid of the game film, or is this a learning experience?
You don't panic because it's week two. The same way you don't panic week one, you don't panic during preseason. But there are causes for concern, especially at depth. We've gone from talking about our Canadian depth to we have no defensive back, and what the hell's going on with the offensive line?
Offensive is a great word for it.
That is. And now, so now with all this stuff adding up, there has to be changes or movement or improvement. If there's not, it's going to be a long season. Like, I'm not saying the season's a wash. Like I said, I was having flashbacks to 2015. I don't see that this team being that. But that offensive line needs to be better, and they need to come up with a solution for a rotation on the defense, because it could be a long season without it.
And now we're without starting quarterback Zach Collaros for what seems to be 6 weeks. He got put on the 6-game injured list with a concussion, and now we're going to see what we really have in Brandon Bridge. So everybody that's wanted Brandon Bridge and said he should have been the starter right from the get-go, well, you guys got your wish. We're going to see what he truly has, and it's not just a one-game thing like we saw last year when he came in against Hamilton, started the one game, looked really good. This is a legit thing, and so you're going to go up against the worst team in the league, and then you're going to have a short week coming back against a team that looked really good against Edmonton in the Hamilton Tucker Cats next week on 5 days rest. So this is going to be a real test for this team. And if that offensive line can't get their act together, it doesn't matter if Brandon Bridge has a cannon of an arm, he's going to be thrown off his back foot. And if you look at his interception in that game, it was off the back foot. And his completion percentage was really no much better than Zach Collaros. So it doesn't matter. You can have all the talent in the world. If you don't have an O-line helping you out, it doesn't matter.
And the thing that worries me about Bridge right now, apparently he said today that he realizes there's only two quarterbacks on the roster, so he might have to change the way he plays his game. Well, Brandon Bridge changes the way he plays his game. He got here where he is by playing his game.
He's not a pocket passer.
He's not. And so if he thinks he's going to stand back there, especially behind that offensive line, he's got a long, Montreal or not, he's got a long game ahead of him.
Well, to be honest, we saw exactly what he was talking about late in the game versus Ottawa. He went for one of his runs, and you saw that moment where he was going to hurdle another receiver, and instead he, I don't want to say slid, he kind of tumbled head over his back end, kind of just fell down to avoid the injury type hit. I don't know if I want to see Brandon Bridge on the field if he's going to be playing, and I use this term not scared, but playing to avoid injury. He has to play his game, or I'd be a little concerned.
Well, hopefully this is just a, you know, I don't want to say a tune-up game, because Montreal is still a pro-level team, barely. but, I mean, they're still a pro-level team. And we're going to talk about this game coming up in, you know, towards the end of the show when we preview the game. But I really hope it's a bounce back for the team, but I have a lot of concerns about this game. And I'll share those in a little bit. But Zach Collaros, this is his third out of fourth year with major injury or with concussion injury. Is this it for him? Because with each concussion, it doesn't matter how severe they are. The more you get them, the worse that they actually get.
Well, we're all Penguins fans. We saw what happened with Sidney Crosby, and those concussions are nothing to laugh off. His third in, was it 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's scary. And the last thing we want is to see him become another statistic. We saw what happened with Ricky Ray this past week, and the last thing you want to see is guys going down to head or neck injuries. But he has to take a good look at his, you know, post career life and decide at some point, is it worth it?
And with that, yeah, he's got to do what's right for him, obviously. And I don't want to say his career is over, because who knows, but it's a scary thing. And yet again, though, I know most teams only carry two quarterbacks, three quarterbacks on the roster. Some have one, some on the practice roster. We got to sign another quarterback now, because are they going to bring back Daniels? Are they going to bring back Williams, or is it going to be someone new? Like, at some point they've got to figure out who's going to be back there.
Well, it's got to be in the next couple of days.
You have to have three. on the active roster when you release the depth chart. You have to have three quarterbacks.
And I assumed at practice we were talking, I said, well, Caleros, we knew he wasn't playing. He'll be the third guy and dressed, but then the six-game thing came out. There's no way in my mind they find somebody new and put them, you know, on a helmet or in a helmet and on the field. It's got to be either BJ or Williams.
Noah Pickton.
I'll say it. Johnny Football.
There's zero chance.
Jeremiah Mazzoli, and I'm trolling. I know that's not going to actually happen. But Jeremiah Mazzoli looked really good against Edmonton. He played Johnny Football, and he looked damn good doing it.
Oh, I agree. There's no way. As we all said, we thought Manziel was getting in by week five. No way that's going to happen now. Mazzoli's been playing lights out, and I picked him up in fantasy this week. I'm not going to lie.
There's a 100% chance that Chris Jones picked up the phone and called the Ticats today, and there was a 100% chance that Hamilton told him where to go and how to get there. It's probably the shortest trade conversation you'll ever have. After seeing Nichols go down, Harris have his scare, Ricky Ray go down, now Caleros go down, Hamilton's not trading their backup?
Nope.
Especially a guy that they spent how long trying to get? This thought that either Toronto or Saskatchewan was going to get him, it's nothing more than media trying to get a story going, because it's not happening. And I will gladly eat crow if it does, but there's no way it happens.
And then Vernon Adams signs with Montreal today too. Oh. So they lost. Technically, Hamilton's third stringer is now in Montreal. So there's another guy off the list.
Yeah, had Vernon Adams not been released, I could see them maybe thinking about that trade, because at least they'd have something there. But are they going to get? They don't want to be in the same position we're in now. We at least have a backup with experience. But
remember back in 2014 when the team brought back Kerry Joseph. I'm not suggesting Kerry Joseph gets brought back.
Darian Durant.
But there's a guy that already got 70K this year that would come probably pretty cheap. Does that phone call get made?
There is a better chance that the Ticats trade us Johnny Manziel for nothing than Winnipeg trading us Darian Durant. No, I would love to see it just for the trolling and just so that he could actually end his career here where he belongs.
That'd be fantastic.
But Winnipeg isn't even answering Chris Jones's calls right now.
Oh God, no!
If
you're trying to reason this,
I'm trying to. I want to be the devil's advocate on this one.
No, it's not coming.
Jones phones up, offers them straight up cash money,
$70,000
in a briefcase, all in ones. If it was American, and it's not going to happen. But it'd be. Pretty
I don't think this is baseball where you can just trade players for cash anymore. I think there's rules against.
Now imagine you're Winnipeg on the other side. You got a guy you know isn't going anywhere. He isn't coming back to Winnipeg. Chris Jones calls and says, we'll give you a third round pick for him. Why wouldn't you? Other than spite.
Helping the division rival? A team that
you're helping your own team.
Probably going to. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be an interesting discussion, but I don't think it'll happen, but it would be great if it does.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. The practice on Wednesday for the Riders is closed, so I guarantee they're bringing in a quarterback or three to hide from the media and see what they have there. And I guess we'll see what happens on Wednesday when Chris Jones talks to the media. But before we get out of here from the opening kickoff, player of the game from the Ottawa game, is there one?
The referee blew the final whistle.
I was serious when I said Watford. He was the only one that didn't suck.
I'm not going to argue with him on that one.
I mean, Williams-Lambert? That catch was pretty nice.
If you picked a highlight from the game, that'd be it.
But yeah, picking a top player in a stinker game like that is
like picking a porta potty at Craven on a +30 day.
Well, and that's coming up next week. Do you guys want to give a grade to the game?
F-.
Yeah, about that.
F-.
Is that F-. Even a thing?
Can you get a minus on an F?
The Riders did.
They found a way.
Well, just I'll give him an F+.
Ooh, so you think there's hope from that game?
Well, can it get any worse? Oh yeah, 2015.
I was gonna say 2015. Okay.
It's like that was every week back then.
The Montreal game, the fall.
Riders also signing defensive tackle Mikael Brooks, former All-Star with the BC Lions, really good player. I'm totally for this signing, but defensive tackle.
I'm confused by the signing. I'm not against it. I'm just confused by the signing.
It doesn't make any sense unless you're looking at changing the ratio, putting him in with Zach Evans, and then I mean, we saw Eddie Steele at practice working on the offensive side of the ball. So maybe there's a new sixth offensive lineman with Eddie Steele. I don't think that'll actually be the case, but we don't know yet until the depth chart comes out. And you just have to have McKenna-Henry back up Eddie Steele, or McKenna-Henry back up Zach Evans. So you've got to put another player there. Well, there's Mikhail Brooks. And you don't need that second defensive tackle spot to be a Canadian spot, because they're already starting up to 9 Canadians.
And I think that's where they're going with it. Steele can play both sides of the line.
God, that scares me.
Move him over the offensive line. It's not ideal, but we need another Canadian over on that side of the ball. And unless they're going to make a phone call to Pete Dyakowski, or one of our young guys can step up other than Bledak, they need another Canadian over there.
I'm honestly surprised that there hasn't been a call to Pete. At this point, it makes sense, because we're hurting for depth, we're hurting for talent, and he's sitting at home watching the games on TV. Literally, he was tweeting about them as the games were going on. I mean, why, unless he doesn't want to come back, why is that call not being made? Why are we signing another defensive tackle on a D-line where we're going to rush 3 and get no pressure anyways?
Well, that depth chart, when it comes out on Friday, is going to be really interesting to see what this team does on that offensive line in the Canadian positions. And you got Marcus Thigpen coming back for this game, too. So there's another, is it just a quick swap in for Trey Mason, and that's the only change you make there? I don't know. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The opening kickoff brought to you by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Moving along here, time now for the Tallgrass Apparel, Engaging with the Enemy. So this week, seen as we're playing the Montreal Alouettes, we're joined on the line right now by Montreal Alouettes running back Tyrell Sutton. Tyrell, thank you for your time.
Oh, man, thanks for having me.
Now, first off, we want to ask about the team itself. Montreal Alouettes, obviously not the result that you guys wanted last week. But what's the vibe like in the Alouettes locker room right now?
Oh, it's positive. It's always positive. We know it's only 2 games. We understand that we're doing the process. We're getting to know each other as a staff, as an offense, as a defense. So as long as we keep doing the necessary things to move forward, we'll be fine.
Now, you're one of the longer-serving players on the team. How is the transition going from a young guy in the locker room to being a vet and somebody that the younger guys are looking up to now?
It's gone by pretty fast, actually. One day you're a bright-eyed rookie, and the next day you're a seasoned vet. So it's a different role for me. Understanding how to give off the knowledge that I have, and being that mentor versus just being the guy who leads by example. I have to understand how to lead with my voice as well.
Your jersey number, does number 20 hold any significance to you?
Yeah, it was my jersey number in high school. I copied my brother, and I took his number. I've been running with it ever since.
Now, other than Montreal, what's your favorite CFL city to play in, and why?
I like Vancouver. It's got that West Coast vibe to it. You know, it's all the way across on the other side of the country, and so being able to take a trip over there is pretty nice.
Now, besides championships, what would be your biggest personal goal or accomplishment that you want to get out of professional football?
Oh, that is a really good one. Just being able to pass off the knowledge that I've acquired through life experiences, not just through football, but through meeting people, through networking, through my ups and downs, my trials and tribulations, and being able to translate that into normal everyday life aspects, not just within sports.
If you weren't a pro football player, what would you be doing with your life?
Oh, man.
Asking the hard questions today.
Yeah. You're asking some in-depth life questions right now. I don't know. I think I would have loved to have tried to become a fireman. I think that might have been one of my goals in life if I wasn't a football player. I really enjoy going to my local fire station around the corner from my house back when I was young.
Now, growing up, who did you look up to? Two things, one in sports, one outside of sports.
The thing about this is they're kind of one and the same. Again, it's my brother. He was 4 years older than me. or four grades older than me, so it was kind of like having a professional running back in the house. I always had somebody to emulate, whether it was on the field or in the classroom. And the thing about it was whenever he made a good move, I was able to step right in his footprints and just copy exactly what he did. But if I didn't like it, I was able to sideswipe it and create my own path, which led me to the life that I'm in now. So all credit goes to him for giving me all the tools to get to this very point.
Now, you've got an off day. Game film is watched. Workout is done. What are you doing to kind of pass the time and have a little fun?
Video games, man. I'm kind of a loner, so I play a lot of NBA 2K, not necessarily online, but I just got into Detroit Become Human. I'm kind of a cerebral guy who likes making decisions that can alter every aspect of the game. So I'm very into those type of interactive games.
Now, going back to 2K, who do you play with? Don't say Golden State, because that's the easiest way you can go right now.
No, I'm Golden State. I'm from the era where you choose three teams at random, and then you pick the best one out of those three teams, and that's how you go at it. So, no, you don't come in with a preset team. If you're a real 2K player, you know how to you adjust on the fly.
Right on. I like it.
What is the best piece of advice you've ever gotten, and who said it to you?
I think it was my mom. She told me, once you start something, you got to finish it. And so I kind of try to live by that. And so this has been a long journey. I don't think I'm done with football necessarily just yet. So I'm committed to it. I'm committed to this team, and I'm not stopping until I'm done.
Now, we have Canada Day and Independence Day both coming up in the next week or so. How do you plan on celebrating those days?
I plan on doing the same thing everybody else does, a whole lot of nothing.
Hit up the park, maybe?
Actually, yeah, hit up the park. Well, actually, my mom will be in town, so I get to see her for her first trip ever up to Montreal. So I get to be with her on Canada Day. Definitely be able to take her out to the Jazz Fest that's happening here in Montreal and be able to explore with her.
Oh, that sounds...
It'll be a pretty good Canada Day.
That sounds like an awesome time. What about for Independence Day? Do you have anything planned for that?
No, watch a lot of fireworks.
Do you watch the hot dog eating contest?
Oh my goodness, no! I don't think I can put up with that. That's just a little too gluttonous for me.
Now, for a vacation, are you a beach guy or a skiing kind of guy?
Oh, I'm a beach guy. I don't want to be in the cold weather much at all. I mean, I'm in Montreal most of the year round. So, when I can get that sunshine, I'm definitely going to the beach.
And if you could travel back in time, when and where would be the first place you would go?
Back when the Federal Reserve was created, and ask them why.
And I guess the most important question of the day, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Yes.
It's not even a question.
That's dogs. The right answer.
Yeah, dogs.
Good answer, sir.
All right, Tyrell, that's everything we have for you. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tyrell Sutton here on the Tallgrass Apparel, engaging with the enemy. We'll talk a little bit more about that Alouettes game coming up here in just a little bit. But before we do...
let's get ready to rumble!
Well, Greg wanted this right off the top, but we're going to wait a little bit. So let's take it away, guys.
You know, I'm going to go straight to... You mentioned it earlier. It's going to be a rant straight from last year. I have had enough of the damn three-man rush. We were going up against a team that was starting, what, two Canadian rookies on the offensive line, or at least two young draft picks, against a very veteran, talented defensive line, and nonstop all game long, we saw two or three guys, you know, rushing the line. I saw a play with one guy actually rushing, and I don't care what team you're playing or what O-line you're up against or who you're trying to cover. You know, part of this plan must have been to give Daron Carter a little bit more time as a defensive back, but the three-man rush is great in moderation, and that moderation is a handful of times a game. It is not something I want to see 40% of the time. We have four talented defensive linemen. Use them.
When you got Hughes, Jefferson, I'm drawing blanks, Henry, and Zach Evans, like, you... Let them go. Like, you get them, all four of them in there. Throw in a linebacker. Like, I don't get it. I understand that he thinks he's fooling people somehow. But the only time we ever saw that three-man rush truly go is when you had a giant beast in the middle. And unfortunately, Zach Evans and McKenna Henry aren't giant beasts. They're guys with motors, and that's it.
And they're not guys that are going to take on a double team.
No.
And we saw with Sir Vincent Rogers, he can handle one of Willie Jefferson or Charleston Hughes. We weren't going to get that pressure that we wanted, and leaving somebody double, or leaving, you know, one guy double team, sure. But we're going up against an all-star on the one end, right? Rush. Get pressure. Make guys move. You give Trevor Harris 5 seconds every play, he is going to eat you alive, and that's exactly what he did.
Everybody knows my feelings about three-man rush, so I'll just leave it there.
Just cue back every episode from the beginning of last year. You're good to find Alex's opinion right now.
Well, speaking of D-lines, we actually, Steve and I, had a chance to go to practice here, talk to one of the defensive linemen on this team. Time now for the Cypress Hills Destination Area Piffles Player Profile. I really want to know. Now, one of the newest additions to the Rider defense and to the Riders themselves, defensive end, many-time All-Star Charleston Hughes. Here's our chat with Charleston at practice earlier this week.
The big trade, both big trades when you came to Saskatchewan. First, take us through that day, considering you spent your whole career in Calgary up until then, get traded to Hamilton, and then flop to Saskatchewan. What was your initial reaction that day?
That's a false statement by you. I didn't spend my whole career there. I just spent 10 years there. it was a rough day. I mean, in the end, I guess it worked out better for me than anybody else. All the teams who actually got something for me, it was pretty much nothing. So Vernon Adams, he bounced around two teams, and now he's out of a job right now.
Sounds like he might be going to Montreal again.
Oh, see, well, he might be going to Montreal. So, I mean, Calgary, I don't even know what they got. Probably a box of Crunch or a box of Captain Crunch or something, but it is what it is.
Now you just recently hit your 100th career sack. When you started your career, did you have a number in mind, a goal in mind, of where you wanted to, you know, to get to as a defensive end?
Not really, man. I guess my real goal was to make it to the next year. And after that, the next year.
Keep going until you tell you.
Yeah. So it's just to keep improving year after year, and hopefully I just stay on a good pace that's competitive throughout the league, right? And I mean, my goal every year is to lead the league in sacks, and I mean, I led my team for 8 straight years, right? So it was a good feeling to know that you can lead a team in sacks for 8 years and play there for 10. So I mean, it was good.
Now, last year we spoke to Derek Dennis, and he told us a story about how his stomach caused you an injury. Was that story true? Did you actually get hurt? I believe it was punching him.
Yeah, it was on a pass rush play. I actually still got it on my phone because I won that one-on-one rep. It was just that my hand gave up on me. Yeah, it wasn't like a mental thing, like I gave up or I lost the rep. I won the rep. It was just my body just didn't hold up on that particular play. But I guess that does tell you, what he didn't tell you is that I put him on his back, too, at the same time.
Yeah, he definitely left that part out.
Yeah, I bet he left that part out. So I put him on his back, and I broke my hand at the same time.
Now, you wear number 39. Is there any significance to that number for you?
I mean, it was the first number given when I first came to the CFL. So, I mean, I wanted to change it, but I felt like it was proper. And they told me to just stick with it. And it's not about the number. It's about the player wearing the number. And they just told me to make that number. So I made it.
Now, you've been here a short little while. Is there anything you find better about Regina, the city of Regina, as opposed to Calgary, or I guess your short stint in Hamilton? Have you had a chance to experience Regina?
Yeah, I have. I had a chance to experience Regina. I kind of live on the brim of the city, and I know one thing that I can say that is a lot better than Calgary is that I can see a storm coming from about 50 miles away. I could just see it coming in and just floating right in over the sky, and it's just closer and closer, and I just, you know, I storm watch now.
That's fun to do in Saskatchewan. Now, what gives you your inspiration to not only play football, but to live life?
Just doing something I love, really. I mean, you're going to love life if you're doing something that you love, and
and enjoying and having fun and, you know, just keeping going.
Now, you're probably familiar with a couple of our listeners out from Calgary. They call themselves the Dream Team. It's Jess and Deb Strickland. Mm-hmm. We know they're going to be listening to this episode. Is there anything you'd like to say to them as a writer now?
I'm probably going to miss her brownies and muffins that she used to make for me. So that will be missed. Hopefully she sent me some in a box if you're listening to this right now. Hi. But I did draw a sign for one of her friends, or might have been a family member, that said, oh, that was you.
Yeah.
I'm like, I remember doing that for one of her friends, saying that, yeah, hi, Deb.
Yep. That picture still goes around every now and again. Yep.
That's nice. Well, glad to see you again. Never going to forget again.
Now, they also named their dog Charleston after you.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Who's the cuter, Charleston? That's a really cute dog, man.
Yeah, I would have to say the dog, man. He got his own Facebook page and Twitter page and all this stuff, and he got more followers than me, I think.
Now, if you could say one thing to Rider Nation that they don't know about you, what would it be?
Cookies.
That's it?
You said one thing?
Okay. Well, let's expand on that a little bit, because I'm a huge cookie fan, too. What's the best kind of cookie?
Ooh.
And don't just like say homemade and no, it's got to be a certain kind.
No, because I like gourmet style cookies. But the best cookie right now would probably be an Oreo. I would destroy a whole packet of Oreos for lunch, breakfast, and dinner.
No, double stuff or just the regular ones? Because they have a whole bunch of different flavors too.
You know what? My favorite flavor right now is that Nutella style. They had a limited release of that, and then I was kind of sad when it went away, but yeah, it's with Nutella.
Did you ever get to try the fireworks one? It had like a little Pop Rock. You remember Pop Rocks when you were a kid? They put those inside the cream, so whenever you ate the cookie, they would like pop off in your mouth.
You know, I'm kind of mad right now. I missed out on that one.
Okay, well, if I find them, we'll bring them back to the next practice. We'll make sure you get them.
Deal.
Charleston Hughes here on the Cypress Hills Destination Area Piffles Player Profile. And, I mean, I'm with him 100%. Cookies. Cookies. We have to make him cookies now and take him to practice, right?
I should make him cookies.
Yes, you should.
And Deron Carter is going to come by because he's going to see cookies. And he'll probably be disappointed.
So what kind of cookies should I make then?
Are you making them for Deron or for Charleston?
I don't think you know how to make those cookies.
No.
There's the internet for a reason.
Can you make a homemade Oreo?
I wouldn't know where to get those ingredients.
You got to wait till October, I guess.
You can make homemade Oreos.
You should try and make homemade Oreos and bring them to Charleston next time, and we'll see what he says.
Homemade Oreos are garbage.
Although you should make your creamsicle cookies, because those are freaking delicious.
The orange creamsicles?
I don't know if those are, like, those are good cookies. Don't get me wrong.
He said that he loved the Nutella ones, the Oreos, that were the limited edition ones. So maybe you should make some Nutella cookies. I'm sure he'd appreciate that.
I could get with that.
Well, we'll have a Piffles trip to practice.
Dear Rider Nation, bring Charleston Hughes cookies.
Yeah, if you see him, buy him some Oreos.
Not too many, though. We don't need a bigger D-line.
Now, we learned a little bit about Charleston Hughes there. Also, hi, Deb. We learned a little bit about Charleston Hughes there. Time now to learn a little bit more about one of our own, Rider Nation. Our week 3 winner of the Piffles Podcast Fan Contest is Jamie Mrazek of Regina, Saskatchewan, and we're going to share his Rider Pride with you right now.
All right, so this week we're joined by Jamie Mrazek, winner of our Week 3 Piffles Podcast Fan Contest. Jamie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, first things first, big Rider fan. How long have you been a fan of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
Well, I'm 29 years old, so I've been a fan for 29 years.
since birth?
Since birth. My first Rider game would have been only a few months after I was born.
That's incredible.
How did you get into cheering for the Riders in the first place? What made you a fan, other than obviously birthright?
It really, that's the biggest thing, is family for me, is that it goes way back. My grandpa, his farm was painted all green and white, every single fence post, every single building. My dad's a huge Rider fan. He's had season tickets longer than I've been alive. So as soon as I was born, they took me to every game. And so it's really just, for me, as a chance to spend time with the family, spend it with my brother, my mom, my dad, go to the game, cheer hard, because I grew up through some pretty bad times early on when I can remember. And so there had to be more than just cheering for a winning team back then.
You just said some bad memories early on. What is your first Rider memory that comes to mind, and what stands out?
My first Rider memory. Oh, it's always like, which one is which? My earliest Rider memory would probably just be the first time I got to go to the Labor Day game with my family. It was always a regular occurrence that everyone would come into town and they'd go to the Labor Day game. And as a little kid, I never got to go. Always had to miss that game. And then finally, is my first year getting to go to the Labor Day game. And so that was the first big time. And ever since then, that's the biggest game of the year for me. Home opener, last game of the year, Labor Day is the biggest.
Do you currently have season tickets?
Yes.
Where do you sit?
I sit in section 113, so just up from the 25-yard line, and it's pretty well where I sat at the old stadium, which is really nice, and still with my parents there, so same family season tickets.
And how long have you had those season tickets?
Once again, I've been having it for 29 years. My dad's had them for about 35, so yeah, they've been in the family for a while now.
Now, you mentioned family. Outside of family, what's your favorite part of the Rider game experience?
It's always the atmosphere. I love getting fully painted up when I go there, cheering loud, having fun, high-fiving everybody around me, and just having a great time cheering on the team.
Rider Nation's a crazy lot. He dresses up like Star Wars. I've got my lucky jersey. What is your game day ritual?
Game day ritual. Okay, so in the morning, I have to lay out the options for what I'm wearing for the jersey, the bandana, all of that stuff, but then get out the basics, the gloves, the pants, everything that's consistent. And then about an hour before I leave, I have to start putting on the face paint, and that usually takes at least a half hour to get on every game. And so I've been doing the same two face paints for about 10 years now, so I've had them for a while. And then after that, it's get the jersey on, go down to the stadium, walk from the parking spot, and enjoy, bring them out.
Who's your favorite current Rider?
Favorite current Rider? Well, that one, I guess, had to change since I would have done this, because it was Rob Bag coming into this. So for the season, I can't deny that I love the way Jefferson plays. You can't go wrong with that. He's a force to be reckoned with. He's out there giving it his best every single play.
Now, who's your favorite all-time Rider?
Favorite all-time Rider would probably have to be Chris Zarka. He was, the Canuck truck. He was my boy. I loved watching him. He was my first jersey I ever had. He was the first one that I ever had a signed jersey of. I even remember hearing that my name got brought up when they talked about releasing, because they knew I'd be sad he was gone.
Do you still have that signed jersey?
I still have that signed jersey.
Nice. Is that your favorite Rider possession, or what is your favorite Rider possession?
Oh, it comes down to it. Some of my favorite possessions, there's one that is more sentimental. My mom made a nice little frame package with our season ticket from the 2016 season, with the commemorative ticket and a couple photos from the season, and so that's really nice. But for actual ones, would be my 2007 and 2013 team signed footballs.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Now, besides winning Grey Cups, what is your favorite Rider moment of all time?
Favorite Rider moment? That would have to be 2013 West semifinal. And I still remember being down at the start of the fourth quarter. Durant put the team on his back, carried them literally on his feet for first down after first down after first down. We came back, won the game, and it was my now fiance's first playoff game. And I was throwing her out of her seat into the air, and she still is a little afraid every time we have a big win.
Can't say I blame her on that.
Now, have you been to games outside of Regina?
Yes, I've been to Winnipeg, Calgary, and BC.
Out of those, which is your favorite stadium, and why?
I love going to Winnipeg. First, it's a beautiful stadium. Top of the line, class art. But what I love is the fan experience. Going to Calgary, not the nicest people to us Rider fans there. Go to BC, not engaged enough to have fun with. Winnipeg, though, you can go there, you can trash talk, yell at them, and then have a drink and shake hands and cheers each other to the game.
It's that true Prairie mentality, right?
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
And finally, what does Rider pride mean to you?
Rider pride is just, it's everything. It's a part of who I am. It's a part of my life. Like I said, it's family. It's in my personal life. It has everything to do. It's more than just football. It's community. It's family. It's passion. And of course, it's a hell of a good time on weekends.
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for joining us here on the Piffles Podcast. Congratulations on winning our week three contest here. And look forward to sharing your Rider Pride with the world.
Thank you very much.
Now, don't forget, you can enter in our fan contest by going to piffles podcast.com. Get entered in for a weekly prize valued at $90, and everybody that enters gets into the draw at the end of the year for the grand prize, and that's going to include a new Rider jersey, Rider Store gift cards, Mr. Mike gift cards, much, much more. So enter in right now to that. Great contest. We want to share more of your stories here on the show, share your Rider pride, what makes you a great Rider fan. And actually, speaking of contests, don't forget to head over to riderfans.com, enter the Why Not weekly contest. Answer questions about the upcoming Rider game. The very first question for last week was, will Daron Carter get an interception? So everybody picked yes. They got a point on that one.
I said no.
Oh, way to go.
Sucker.
Proven fact, every game he starts, just yes. He might give up a touchdown, but he's going to get that pick.
So he's even, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. Could be a heck of a lot worse as a DB.
Yeah. Now, gain points through that game throughout the season and win. Rider Fans Forum, if you've never been there, it's a great place to chat everything Riders and CFL. Check it out. Just go to riderfans.com. Now, we'll talk about the Montreal Alouettes game here in just a second. Amy, your time to shine.
Okay, so I have one for a serious question and then one what in the hell corner of the internet did you crawl into
question. That was my favorite.
Oh, my
gosh. Buttering babies.
Yes, I'm scared.
Nothing will ever top the muffin baby one, right?
Oh, well, just wait.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, no.
Maybe,
oh, no.
Maybe. Okay, so here's the serious one. Would you rather have $1 million now or $5,000 a week for the rest of your life?
$5,000 a week.
$5,000 a week.
Same.
$5,000 a week. This is your standard lottery. Do you take the lump sum or do you take the payments?
No, I take the payments. That's $260,000 a year. So in 4 years, you're going to be better than $1 million.
Even if you told me it was $5,000 a week for 4 or 5 years, my answer wouldn't change.
That's fair.
It's for $5,000 a week. If you're smart, you're set for
a good long while.
Good long time.
It's a lot easier to blow $1 million at once than it would be to blow $5,000, I think.
Yep.
Because you're going to have that $1 million and you're like, yeah, I'm going to buy this and this and this. And, you know, there's a new truck and there's a new car, or there's a new house, whatever. Like, it's just super easy to do that. And then out of nowhere, you have no money left. $5,000. Well, no, I got to wait another week before I can buy that or whatever. Right. So, yeah, no, that one's easy.
All right. Okay. So here's the fun one. Would you rather be sexually attracted to fruit or have Cheetos dust permanently stuck on your fingers?
How does it even equals?
If I lick my fingers, does it still taste like Cheeto dust nonstop?
There's always Cheetos dust on your fingers.
Oh, but you're going to leave Cheetos dust on everything.
Everything.
Oh, but you can constantly like have the taste of Cheeto dust.
But it's just the dust. It's not the Cheetos.
Yeah, it's a whole lot better than want to screw a cantaloupe. Where do you come up with these?
What is going on?
The internet is the great place.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Cheetos dust.
Yeah, I'm going Cheeto dust.
Dust.
That's weird.
I told you. It's a what the hell corner of the internet did you crawl into?
I want to know how someone even thinks those are equivalents. Like, usually it's like, do you want to do this or this? Like, they're like, okay, it's a tough choice. This one is sexually attracted to fruit and Cheeto dust. How do you even get there?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like raspberries. I like them in my mouth. But
I bet you do.
All right. Let's tweet this out so we have this for a shirt later.
But I like eating raspberries. Like, that's it. That's where the attraction ends, that they're delicious.
No American pie situation with raspberries, right?
None whatsoever.
Welcome.
Don't get me wrong. Rider fans love putting watermelons on their head. That's the only place where they should be.
Nope. Not going there.
Nope. Yeah. Use your own imagination.
This is a child-friendly show. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on here.
To preview this upcoming game against the Montreal Alouettes, we're joined by Cliffy and Tim of the Montreal Alouettes Flight Deck Podcast. Gentlemen, thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks for having us.
No.
And I am real.
Yeah, you do exist.
This isn't just a voice to text, so that's or text to voice, so that's nice. obviously, last week, 56-10, not what you guys were looking for at all against a Winnipeg team that's playing with their backup quarterback. How does this Montreal Alouettes team brush that off, going up against another team that's going to be pissed off coming from a loss of their own in the Riders?
Well, I think I have to believe in my heart of hearts that these guys are professionals and will act like professionals and realize that, hey, we've already dropped two games this season and we've really got to get our act together. Whether you want to blame the coaches for not coaching well or the players for not playing well last week versus Winnipeg, it doesn't matter. One way or another, everybody's got to step up and be ready for this game in Saskatchewan because, like you said, the Riders got their behind handed to them pretty handily, just like Montreal did, not to the same extent, mind you, but still, like I said, both these teams are coming off a pretty bad loss, and both have to be chopping at the bit to get something going. So I'm really hoping for a good competitive game, but yeah, there's already the writing's on the wall for both teams, and they're going to have to step up.
If there's one person or one player that the Riders need to watch out for on the Montreal Alouettes, who is that?
That's a good question. One or two people. I mean, I guess who's impressed us most on, I would say, for offense, I would say so far would be Charles Sutton. Passing game really hasn't been much to write home about. But I think he's the spark plug, I think, that the team needs. He is, hopefully can get something going until the, I guess until the Owls decide to go ahead and ban it in the second half, right, Cliff?
Pretty much. But yeah, I definitely think that is your workhorse right there, Tyrell Sutton. Just keep feeding him the ball. I mean, especially if Drew Willey, and if we're saying this, provided Drew Willey is going to be the starting quarterback this Saturday, if Drew Willey can't connect with the receivers, the worst case scenario, just keep handing the ball off to Sutton because you know he's going to get those yards. It's not a bad thing. If he were to get a 200-yard rushing game, would that really be a terrible thing? I personally don't think so. So, yeah, I definitely think Tyrell Sutton is definitely someone that Saskatchewan has to keep their eyes on and try to corral as best as possible.
Well, actually, we just got off the phone with him as well, and he was telling us that the locker room is still, you know, it's a very positive vibe in there, that it's kind of, you know, brush this one off, just get back to work. Is that how you guys see this team? Like, is it that easy to brush off a big-time loss like that?
I guess it depends from a player's point of view or a fan point of view, right, Cliff?
Well, when I do talk to the players, I mean, I do ask them, like, what is that chemistry still there? Are you still get that feeling? And I don't know if they've been brainwashed or what, but everyone I talk to is like, listen, we're trying it here. We've got something special here. There is something here, and I want to believe them. I want to believe they're not just feeding us a line. And if they're telling you that this is still a great locker room, then I have no choice but to believe them. But I mean, these losses have to be kind of discouraging for them. So, I listen, if they tell me that everything's good and this is a very cohesive locker room, then I'll believe it. That's all there is to it.
Actually, if you spoke with Seti, too, Seti's not one to mince words. He would usually tell how it is.
No, Riders are without their starting quarterback here. They're going to be starting Brandon Bridge this week, a former Alouette. Does that change game planning at all for the Montreal defense?
I hope so. I have to believe that. Now they know who they have to focus on, so to speak. I definitely hope that they've started fine-tuning their game plan a little bit and start focusing on Bridge. Because let's not forget, the last time the Riders and the Alouettes faced each other and Brandon Bridge was the starting quarterback, the team that had Brandon Bridge didn't win. So just a little food for thought.
Now, if there's one thing that the Riders need to do to exploit Montreal, what would that be?
Show up.
Well, they didn't last week, so that'd be an improvement for them this week.
No, I think it depends too, Cliff, on how much change they made in the defensive schemes. Because actually, something I learned this week, which I did not know, is that Rick Stuehler was involved in that monster game for Matt Dunnigan when he threw for 700 plus yards. So he was involved in that game and he brushed it off and he was able to get his team to come back and win the next couple weeks. So I think with the changes, maybe with Bowman, we are getting some changes in defense this week, supposedly from from what I've heard with practice, right, Cliff? I mean, it's there may be a few new faces in the backfield that the Riders have not seen yet. So maybe it might make it a little bit of a chance for, but Chris Ackie, though, I think he needs to get his rear in the gear.
Big time. I mean, he's not the one, but two, I mean, I've been singing his praises from the moment he's basically come back to the Alouettes, and I don't have to tell you, Alex, just how special a player Enoch Mwamba is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's banged up a little bit right now, but he's still raring to go and still looks like he's going to be a part of the lineup on Saturday. I have a feeling he, too, is going to be cranked up about being back to Saskatchewan and kind of wanted to, I wouldn't say a chip on his shoulder, but he's going to have something to prove as well. And he's not going to let something like an ankle injury bother him or stop him from being in the lineup. I think that as long as Enoch Mwamba is out there and throwing his body around, that's definitely something that defensively is just going to be an asset for the Alouettes.
Now, the lead up to this game, at least here in Saskatchewan, is the team is, they're pumped up about this game. It's a chance to, I guess, brush off last week's loss to Ottawa. I'm getting a really uneasy feeling about this game. Do you guys see this as a possible trap game for the Riders? It's a game they should win when you look at it on paper. They're clearly a better team than Montreal, but they've always played up and down to their competition. Do you find that this is a trap game at all?
Certainly has all the makings to be one. I mean, I'll definitely say I wouldn't go so far as to call this a pick'em as far as who's going to win the game. But I definitely see a lot of elements that I've said for years. The only team that can truly beat the Montreal Alouettes are the Montreal Alouettes. This year, not being a completely different circumstance altogether, but I can almost say with certainty that the only team right now that can beat the Saskatchewan Roughriders just might be the Saskatchewan Roughriders when it comes to this game. Like if they let Montreal get into their heads and if they start doubting how Brandon Bridge is playing and how everything else is falling into place, then yeah, I could definitely see a potential for an upset here. But I think it'd be more of a case of maybe Saskatchewan overthinking themselves, or maybe just taking Montreal just a little bit too lately and just giving them just enough of an opportunity to get into the game and possibly take it away from the Riders.
Well, it's going to be an emotional night because they're doing their Humboldt Strong tribute before the game, and there'll be a whole bunch of ceremonies based off that. So, Cliff, I know you're coming to the game. Bring some Kleenex because there's not going to be a dry eye in the place. I'm looking forward to the game. It should be good, and I'm hoping it's a good game and it's not a blowout either way. I'm just concerned that it's just not going to be that great of a game to watch, but we'll see what happens on this upcoming Saturday night. All right, guys. Now, if people want to hear more about the Montreal Alouettes, where can they find you guys?
You can find me at REPPACT. You can also find Cliff at CliffyD. No need to spell that. It's self-explanatory. And if you want to find all of our podcasts online, we have a very much easier way to do it this year. Finally, you can go to alouettesflightdeck.ca.
Awesome. Tim, Cliff, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, so there's a little bit of look at the Montreal Alouettes side of things. We got to talk about the Riders and keys to winning this game. Before I want to say my piece, we'll start off. This is the Humboldt Strong game. The families affected by the Humboldt Broncos bus crash have been invited to this game, and there's going to be a big tribute before the game starts. 6:45 is when that's all going to take place. So if you're going to the game, make sure you get there early. Bring Kleenex because there's not going to be a dry eye in the stands. TSN's taking taking that live as well too. So it's going to be, make sure you're there early and you're watching early on TV, because this is something that you're not going to want to miss. And it's really going to show just how strong this province and this country are, everybody coming together to support one another. So make sure you go there, and they're going to have the Humboldt Strong pins there as well for sale. So pick yourself up one of those, and hopefully that emotion will bleed through to the team as well too, and that'll raise them up as well and give them the performance that we want to see on Saturday. So make sure you're checking that out. Now to on the field, give me something to watch on offense. What does the team need to do to win this game against Montreal? Besides score more points.
Straight up, they need to actually run the ball. If our O-line is going to be what it was last week, they need to at least give the semblance of a rushing attack. Otherwise, we're going to see Montreal pin their ears back all game long, and we may be looking at another quarterback on their back. That's the key to me, is getting a running game going like we saw versus Toronto.
And that's, and to offshoot that, you kind of already touched on it, they got to keep Brennan Bridge upright. Like he said, he's already talking about changing his game. I hope he doesn't. He's not a pocket quarterback. He needs to be able to move around, but he needs time to do that. So, Brennan Bridge is going to have to, this is the game he's going to have to show against a arguably weaker, opponent that he should be the starter.
Just to extend on what Greg said, and I guess to an extent what Steve said, it all starts with the O-line. If the O-line doesn't perform, this is going to be a long game. On defense, what does the team need to do better? Get pressure on the quarterback?
Yeah, no three-man rush. Yeah. This is a recording?
That's right there. Cut the three-man rush out, or at least minimize it. Make Drew Willey and company think they have people in their face all game long. Have them looking over their shoulders, because Trevor Harris did none of that. He was never concerned for a second.
Can Daron Carter cover Chris Williams? There's another burner.
Yes, I think he can, actually. And I think he'll do a substantially better job. He will not get an interception, but he's not going to give up a deep bomb either. We're going to see a more DB average game from Daron Carter.
I'll take that bet that he's not going to get beat deep. I'm sorry. He's going to bite on a route that he's not supposed to. And
a little pump and go or something. Yeah. And
I guarantee you that's going to be a package. It's going to be a pump and go, and he's going to bite, and Williams is going to be behind him and gone.
And it depends on if they're playing offense, or it depends on if they're playing zone or man, because when they played zone, both him and Gainey took the long guy against the Red Blacks. Just want to throw this out there. I didn't yell that this time, since that was a talking point on Twitter this week. And they threw it underneath the Greg Ellingson, and he had 10 yards of wide open space in front of him with no one around him, and easy pitch and catch for a first down for Ottawa. So I think it depends on if they're playing man or zone. I think if it's man, he won't get beat. If it's zone, he'll get beat, because the schemes are just, he'll take the wrong one, and the communication with him and Gainey just won't be there.
And like I said, it's when the ball's in the air, and if it's man, he knows what he's doing. But if it's something where he has to do a pre-read, something he's not used to doing, that's going to mess him up every time. Not every time, but most of the time.
Okay, and final question about this game here, and I don't have it written down because I want to throw this out to you guys just kind of out of the blue. Do you guys see this as a trap game? I think that this game has the makings of, because you got the Riders who are coming off a 23-point loss. They were embarrassed in Ottawa last week in a game where pretty much everybody picked them to win. So they're going to be mad about that. Coming back home, they're going to have the emotion of the Humboldt Strong tribute beforehand. They're going against a much weaker opponent. To me, and I've seen a lot of Rider football in my life, they don't perform well in these games. The games that they should win and win by 20, 30 points, they never do. I'm going to throw this back to the 2014 home game against Montreal. We should have ran away with that game on paper. We were looking good that year. Montreal wasn't. And it was because of a long 80-yard touchdown to Taj Smith at the end of the game. That's the only reason why we won. This is going to be a close game, because as much as we rag on Montreal, they're still a pro team. They got beat by 40 points last week. They're going to be mad. Everybody thinks that they're going to lose this game. This is a perfect scenario for Montreal. They're on the road in a hostile environment against a team that they should have no business beating. Is this a trap game? I think it is.
Under any other head coach, I would say yes. I don't think Chris Jones is the type of guy who's going to let them toot their own horns all week long, especially after what they did last week in Ottawa. I think it's going to be a team that comes prepared to perform like they can.
And actually, I was going to go the other way with the Montreal's head coach. That post-game press conference that Sherman gave, I don't know what he's doing. I don't think he knows what he's doing. He sounded confused, and he had no idea what happened out there. I don't think it's not just the talent they have right now. I don't think they're prepared.
It's like putting a guy in with absolutely no Canadian football experience might have been a bad idea to a team that desperately needs veteran leadership on the coaching side of things.
Hashtag consequences.
Maybe there'll be consequences. All right, now week 3 of the CFL. We'll go around the table. We'll do our picks for the games here this week. Thursday night, possibly the game of the week. Ottawa in Calgary.
Ottawa.
Really?
Yep.
After the game that Calgary had, Bo Levi Mitchell looked third best percentage completion in history.
Yep.
I'm going with Calgary.
Calgary.
Calgary, for sure. Friday night football, we got a doubleheader. Winnipeg at Hamilton.
This game is going to be fun. I think it's going to be a shootout.
I think so, too.
It's the game of the week, for sure.
Do I like the rookie, or do I like Mazzoli more? Mazzoli. Hamilton.
I think we see the end of the hype behind Chris Streveler. Hamilton by double digits.
Hamilton.
Hamilton. And before we move on, Steve, you actually had a conversation with a couple people on Twitter about this, and Streveler went up against Montreal, who doesn't hopefully have a good team. Just I say that because we're playing them this week. And then also against an Edmonton team that was missing a whole bunch of their starters in a 3-hour delayed game.
And
those games you can kind of just throw out the window, especially when you're a home team, because, I mean, we saw that in 2007 here at the Blackout Bowl, that put records and everything aside. Those games just, for whatever reason, seem to favor the home team.
I get that Winnipeg hasn't had anything to cheer for since 1990, since the first Bush was president. That's fine, but relax a little bit. We're talking about a guy who took on a Montreal Alouettes team that's missing 12 starters on defense due to talent. I've been saying that all week. I'm sorry, but they are not a solid football team. I'm not going to give a guy credit. I mean, yeah, he got the win, and good on him. And if Montreal beats us, I will eat a ton of crow for saying this. But I don't see the hype yet. He had a great game.
They also had a receiver throwing touchdowns, so.
I see the promise, but they need to just, you know, temper the expectations a little bit, and he's not the next Mike Riley yet.
But on the plus side, at least this brought Winnipeg fans to thank Darian Durant for his years of service.
Yeah, the love in that Darian Durant got this week from Winnipeg is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, love in, that's what it was.
And finally, the Riders and Montreal.
If it's not the Riders, I'm going to be selling torches and pitchforks, because they're going to be out in full bore next week.
Can you imagine the post-game phone calls in Saskatchewan if the Riders lose this game?
Did you hear the post-game phone calls last week?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they were already on the fire coach train already.
And those same people were sitting there celebrating the Christian Jones return for a touchdown and tooting Chris Jones's horn, you know, until about 30 seconds ago in the East final. I'll never understand Rider fans. Saskatchewan by double digits. I have full faith in this team going forward. But I'm a homer.
Did you pick already Saskatchewan? Also Saskatchewan.
Reluctantly Saskatchewan. I think this is a classic trap game, and I don't think it'll be close all the way through, and then the Riders will find a way to pull it out at the end, whether it's getting a game-sealing field goal to make it a 9-point lead, make it a 2-score game or something. I want to have a lot of confidence in this game. I really do, but I just have that weird gut feeling that this is your classic trap and it's not going to go as we all hope it does.
Hey, this is Rider football. They are the masters of pulling defeat from the jaws of victory several times over. So
I've seen it enough to, you know, in my life that until things change and they absolutely dominate the teams they should dominate, I can't see them doing it. And that's not a slight against this team at all. That's just a slight against the franchise itself. I still think they win, but it's a lot closer than anybody. It's an uneasy win. And, of course, Toronto's on the bye this week as well. And we do have to mention, obviously, that we talked about a little bit about his injury already. But Ricky Ray, good to see that he had a feeling of all of his extremities after taking that really bad hit. Neck injury, he's going to miss what the Argos are saying is a significant amount of time this year. It reminds me a lot of the Anthony Calvillo injury, where he actually ended his career here in Saskatchewan with a hit from Ricky Foley. With a concussion, and I really hope that this isn't it for Ricky Ray.
I know I said it more than a few times this year already. No football player, well, not no, but most football players don't end their careers on their own terms. And that was one of the things we talked about with Ricky Ray, about how close were you to retiring this year, and he wanted to come in again. And you got to wonder, now does he go, crap, I should have went out on top? Instead of on my back, but it's good to see that he's out of the hospital, but I really hope that's not the way his career ends.
I'm not sure there's a guy in the CFL that is respected and loved across the league quite like Ricky Ray. Like, you don't see any opposition fan base go after him like you do for Bo Levi Mitchell, Mike Riley, Darian Durant, you know, Zach Caleros. He's earned that respect. I hope we see him again. But on the opposite side of it, I hope this is that, you know, reminder that he's got a lot of post-football life to think about. And he's not exactly a spring chicken.
And that's why Toronto traded for Franklin this year, because they knew Ray's days were coming to an end. And unfortunately, this might be what did it.
Well, hopefully it's not it, but just know Ricky Ray, friend of the show. We had him, we played our interview with him last week as well, or a couple weeks ago as well. Just know that the entire CFL community is thinking about him, because you don't want to see anybody go down to injury, especially someone as classy as Ricky Ray and arguably, what, top two, three quarterback in CFL history, if he's not number one?
Easily number one in our generation, and it's not even close.
Calvillo, him, Allen, Flutie, like, top five easily.
I would even get rid of Allen out of that group and go top three, and I'd probably put him ahead of Anthony Calvillo.
Hard to argue any one of those guys.
Yeah, but hopefully that's not it for him. But
you're not going to put Kevin Glenn on that list?
Well, he's like number six.
Hall of Famer Kevin Glenn?
Future Hall of Famer Kevin Glenn.
Sorry, I had to do it.
Glenn would be at least number nine for every team he played for.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for us this week here on the Piffles Podcast. Coming up on the next week's show, we're going to recap the Riders game against Montreal in the opening kickoff. We're going to preview the Riders versus Hamilton game. It's a Thursday night game. That's the big party night that the CFL on TSN, you know, third and one from the gun, is all about.
I hate that line so much.
But Brody Lawson and the rest of the CFL gang will be here in Regina for that game. And Johnny Manziel will be here as well, too. So I'm looking forward to that. Even if he's just standing on the sidelines, I'm okay with that. I hope he plays.
Stake out at Gabbo's, people. Stake out at Gabbo's.
We're going to preview that game. We're going to have our Tallgrass apparel engaging with the enemy. And I'm telling you right now, I am trying to get Johnny Football on for that. I can't promise anything, but I'm really, really trying for that. So we'll see where I can, we'll see how good my producing skills are. We'll see who we get there. We'll also have our Cypress Hills destination area Piffles player profile and a lot more CFL talk. Don't forget to check out piffles podcast.com. Find all your latest Riders stuff and other CFL content. Give us a follow on Twitter. You can follow me at RealAlexD, and I beat you on that one, Steve.
I was waiting for it, too.
Now your turn.
Oh, I thought you were going to do Piffles next.
No, I'm going to do that at the end.
Oh, I got you. You can follow me at Safamod.
You think we've done this like weekly for a while now. You can follow me at Greg on Sports.
And I am at RealAmyD.
Give our Piffles Podcast account a follow as well, at Piffles Pod.
And you can follow me at...
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram. Just search Piffles Pod. And of course, our fan contest, over $2,500 in prizes to give away. So enter in and share your Rider Pride with the world. And one other thing you can check out, and we have the information up on the website, but also it's all over Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff, is the second annual Piffles Bowl. Friday, August 10th. It's during the Riders bye week. We're going to play touch football at Mosaic Stadium. Going to raise some money for Hope's Home charity here in Regina. And we're just going to go out and have a good time. If you're looking to come out, have a little bit of fun, play some football, and go have some drinks and appies and everything after, raise some money for charity, just let us know. $60, get you a t-shirt, a couple hours on the field at Mosaic Stadium to play, a whole bunch of other goodies as well. And then we're going to raffle off some items, have a silent auction on some other great prizes as well. And we'll just have a lot of fun. So if you have any questions about that, email us, pifflesbowl@gmail.com. Talk to us on Twitter, Facebook, anywhere you can find us. Just shoot us a message and we'll be more than happy to talk to you about that. And let's raise a lot of money for charity. Last year we raised $1,500 for Hope's Home. So let's beat that this year and make it another great event. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive here in Regina. Special thank you goes to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out her Facebook page, Kathy Festian Royal LePage. Also thanks to Tallgrass Apparel and Cypress Hills Destination Area for their support to make this show possible as well. Thank you for listening. We're going to leave you with another one of our featured artists here of 2018, Beauty Killed the Beast. This is Hometown.